John Schwab is a longtime member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, kind of the Reduced Shakespeare Company UK.
Yes.
Expressly. But I finally, you and I finally get a moment where we get to sit down in a pub in chat. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Cheers for the beer.
Cheers. Yeah, you're welcome.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 334, American Actors Abroad. John Schwab has been a member of the RSC UK since the 2000s, performing both Shakespeare and America at the Criterion Theatre and Piccadilly Circus, as well as touring around the UK. You've heard him talk about his film producing in podcast episode 116, and you probably heard him interview Olivia Williams on podcast episode 272. Now, John is scheduled to perform with us again this year in 2013, so I managed to catch up with him in the Bedford Pub in Balham while I was in London recently to ask him about what it's like to be an American actor working in England. He started by telling me how long he's been living there.
I've been living here for about 20 years. I came to university here, having met my wife. It's such a long story,
okay.
But
give me the reduced version.
A military brat. My wife is a military brat of a British Army officer.
Okay.
Our parents worked together. We met at 19. We got engaged at 19, married at 21.
Boom.
Boom. Came to Durham University and started working in my last year at university, got an agent. So I've been here about 20 years, working about 19.
And you've kind of, the lovely thing about being over here in Britain is that there is a lot to do, and you are doing all of it. It's stage, film, television, radio, video games.
Absolutely, and a lot of it is coming over there, because technically, especially on the video game side, and the film was ADR. There's so many post-production houses here.
Yeah, and ADR is additional dialogue recording, right?
That's right. It's basically you're putting atmosphere tracks where you're providing the background chatter in, say, a pub scene.
Right.
Like, if we're in a pub, no one would be making noise.
And they wouldn't be playing music.
They wouldn't be playing music.
Yeah.
But we would put that in afterwards. And then revoicing as well. A lot of that comes over here.
Okay.
There is a lot to do. Like you say, there's the films. I've just been shooting a few films. And the television series, a lot of pilots now are shooting here and in Prague. And
American pilots?
American pilots.
Really?
Are being cast and shot over here.
Wow.
One that's coming out with Harry Shearer, Nixon's the one that every American actor, I think, went up for and got in. I play a CBS news reporter, producer.
And part of that, I think, is because his wife is English, or he spends a lot of time over
here. That's right. I think he has a place in Notting Hill and lives in New Orleans, so he shares his time. But as an American, as a day player, what we call a day player, somebody that comes in and works for the day, a lot of films, a lot of television, a lot of radio plays for the World Service and Radio 4 go out. And a ton of video games here.
Yeah, well, that's the thing we just don't have in America, which is too bad, the radio play.
The radio play here, and it's something that they tried to cut back on not too long ago, and although they did reduce the amount they're doing, there was an outcry, because they have play of the week, and they have a play at night, and it's just something that this country is used to hearing, and a lot of times you get, there is a lot of American roles.
Yeah.
And that's why I suppose I've never moved back, Austin, is because the opportunities, all the things that I've wanted to do as an actor, I've been able to do, which has led to also the producing, making films and short films and writing and doing whatever else.
I've mentioned this before on the podcast. It's a pet peeve of mine that these damn Brits, these limeys, that come over to America and they take our roles. Damian Lewis, Hugh Laurie,
James Isaac, Jason Isaacs,
Jason Isaacs. Yeah. What's Andrew Lincoln?
Andrew Lincoln, Spider-Man. Man, come on.
Exactly. Now, so tell me that you are doing America's work. Are you coming over here and taking British roles, or are you only taking American roles?
Definitely taking British roles. I've become a British husband. I stole one of their women.
Yeah.
First of all.
Oh, good work. Well done.
Yeah, I did. I got in there straight away. But you know, I haven't. I'd love to. I thought about.
How is your British accent?
My British accent, I do in video games.
Oh.
It's like, you know, you do the old, you play the villain. and they because they want somebody with an American accent, but they also ask if you can do like a cad British accent because it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it just recently did the Lego City video game, and it's I think there's some odd British accent, and it is very odd British accent. But I thought that early on in my career, I would just be the American actor, and I think instead of there are a lot of other actors, British actors out there who kind of fit into my physique that are going to be chosen over me. So why not really stamp my authority in, as a young American here in London, available as a young American?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Why? Well, and again, why play a Brit when there's plenty of Brits? Well, and you were. I mean, you in the theater you bounce around. So you go from starring in this four-hander with Tom Stoppard's son, whatever his name is.
Ed Stoppard.
This four-hander where you're one of four leads.
Yeah.
But then you also do a lot of understudying. You were when you interviewed Olivia Williams. You were understudying Matthew Fox.
That's right. Yeah, I was understudying Matthew Fox and a Neil DeBute play. And there are the understudy. The great thing about the understudying roles you can do here are that they're often high profile.
Right.
And I have understudied Kevin Spacey twice in National Anthems and Stephen Weber in that one, and then Kevin Spacey again and Jeff Goldblum in Speed the Plow. I understudied Billy Zane in a two-hander with Claire Bloom. You know, and the last one I did was Matthew Fox with Olivia Williams, but that was Anila Butte, and I insisted every time I understudied was that I was in the room from the first rehearsal.
Yeah.
So I wanted to watch those actors go through their craft, go through their...
Well, and find their choices, discover their choices.
Absolutely, because you need to... How they discover their choices is going to form how you'd say the line, and that's going to make the actor that you're acting opposite comfortable when you're having to do the play stepping in.
Yeah, they're not, exactly. You're not there to give your performance. You're there to give the other guy's performance.
Absolutely. You're there to totally serve the other actors on stage.
And so you've worked... Well, you and Matt Rippey have both worked with Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
And what's that like understudying him? Isn't he kind of the Iron Horse, right?
He is the Iron Horse, and there is a little bit of a story there. I took that role knowing that he is well known for never missing a performance, never missing a day on set, for being ill, never missing. So I took that role going, hold on, it's Kevin Spacey.
And this is Speed the Plow?
This is Speed the Plow.
Okay.
And this, it's an amazing, and it's Matthew Warchus, who is an incredible director.
Right. He directed Matilda, the big hit now.
I mean, he's directed, or he directed like everything, you know, here that's done well.
Right.
And also Jeff Goldblum. So I was like, who wouldn't want to be in that room watching that happen? It wasn't a no-brainer because I'd understudied him before and it was a thankless task. However, Kevin did a great thing for me. He called me and said, John, they can't find anybody. I know you could do it. Call him up and tell him what you want and I'll tell him to tell you yes. And so, which I did, and they said yes, and I thought, you know, damn, I should have asked for more money, Austin. You know, that's what I should have. They gave me the 2 weeks off when my kid was born. They gave me everything. And I just
so it's good money, and you get to watch Kevin and Spacey and Jeff Goldblum work and ply their trade.
And it was all smooth sailing until the final week of the run. It was the final matinee, I thought it was very quiet. My dressing was opposite Kevin's.
Wow, understand he's got a dressing room of their own.
Oh yeah. Wait, no, I had my massive room. Again, that's the perk of having a small cast.
And this was at the Old Vic, right?
This is at the Old Vic.
Uh-huh.
And this show was sold out from about the third week. And it's very quiet. And I thought, Kevin's unusually quiet today. Interesting. He just must be tired. And I just carried on playing the guitar, reading a film magazine, whatever, until the company manager came in and said, John, we can't find Kevin. He's not answering his phone. He's not on. You're on. Go. And
thanks for the heads up.
Thank you for the heads up. The 5 minutes before Act One Beginners. So I quickly put on my wardrobe, run down to Jeff's room. He's in. And the great thing about Jeff Goldblum and understanding him, he showed up to every single understudy rehearsal. He was.
Wow.
There.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. He is a true gentleman. And he. So he just said, John, we don't need to run anything. Do you want to? I was like, no. We've done it. We've done it plenty. Let's just go. So we we get on stage, and before we go on stage, I tell my my compatriot, Emma Clifford, who's the understudying Laura Michelle Kelly, I said, come listen to this, because this is going to be a sound you are never going to hear in your career. The company manager goes out, and again, this is the last week of this play that's been sold out for 3 months, and says, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, due to the sudden indisposition of Kevin Spacey, the role of Charlie Fox will be played by John Schwab. Now, there was a silence punctuated, well, there was a groan, but punctuated by the shriek of a woman in the front row who just went, no! Which Jeff and I lost it behind the scrim. We lost it. Jeff turned, patted me on the back, and gave me the wise words of John. They can't hate you more than they hate you now. So let's have some fun.
But if I'm remembering the story correctly, Spacey showed up. He made it.
Spacey showed up. He showed up just as I was. I don't know what time he showed up in the first act, but he was there waiting for me as I came off stage.
Okay.
And I think it's his theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's the artistic director. Yeah. He runs the thing. So he was watching in the wings.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so I came off, and he thanked me for going on.
Yeah,
And I said, Kevin, you know, you're right. He's like, yeah. I said, just took me too long to get in. I was underground, couldn't do it. And so I said, you need to get dressed. He went, no, it's your show. You started, you finish. And I said, no, they're here to see you. They're not to be. And the rules are, as an understudy, as you know, if you start the show, you finish the show. But it's Kevin Spacey. It's the last week of Speed the Plow. They're not here to see John Schwab. They're here to see Kevin Spacey. Kevin's not in the second act. So he's in the third act again. So he does get dressed. I had to convince the company manager that this was the right thing to do. I just said, I basically said, I'm not going on.
Right.
And I threw a little bit of a diva.
Wow.
I'm not going on. So Kevin got dressed, and I went up to Emma, and I said, this is a sound you aren't going to hear, and you're come listen to this. So she came down the wings, and when Kevin went on, as if 1,200 question marks rose out of the collective heads of the audience, and they cheered, and he turned to the audience and said, sorry I'm late, in character, sorry I'm late, traffic's a bitch. They gave him a massive applause. They were so happy he did the rest of the show. And God bless him, Jeff Goldblum, the company manager came to see me in the dressing room and said, get dressed, you're taking a bow. And I went, I wasn't so sure about that. She said, you're on, you take a bow. So she brought me down, I got into my wardrobe, and when the curtain came up, Jeff Goldblum escorted me out in the center of the stage and then left me there to take my own bow, and I got a standing ovation from the entire audience, the Old Vic, without not a person sitting down. It was incredible.
I'm Nina Totenberg, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In June of 2013, you can see us in Columbia, Maryland in the U.S. and in the U.K. in May, June, and July. You can see us in Canterbury, Newbury, Guildford, Oxford, Croydon, Hedge End, Shanklin, Yeovil, Exeter, Swindon, Crawley, Tunbridge Wells, Tewksbury, Bromsgrove, Newtown, Bridport, Barnstable, Solihull, Hereford, Harlech, Great Yarmouth, High Wycombe, Camberley, Surrey, Hastings, East Dulwich, Aberystwyth, Southport, Lincoln, Barnsley, Barrow, Inverness, Leeds, Ayr, Stirling, South Shields, Musselburgh, and London at the Leicester Square Theatre in July. Several of these performances are already sold out, and many of them are close to it. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Yeah, that's the great thing about being an understudy is that you're a hero.
Yeah.
You know, you're a disappointment, but then you're almost always really great.
When I understudied Billy Zane, because it was Claire Bloom, and Claire Bloom is a living legend, she is an incredible actress.
Yeah.
Anyone who can steal Richard Burton away from Elizabeth Taylor is okay in my books. They all came to see her. And I was on so much, you know, for Billy, for whatever reason.
Yes. I think he was on a big ship and it was going down.
It did go down on many occasions. But I got to meet people like Leslie Caron came down. Alan Rickman specifically had her ring me in my dressing room, and I came down. She said, John, I have someone who wants to meet you. And I came down, and it was Alan Rickman in Claire Bloom's dressing room, and he said, I wanted to say that was not an understudy's performance. It's really nice to meet you. And I was like, oh, oh my lord.
Wow.
Because it was a two-hander, and I
did he say it as Snape? I wanted to say
I would have hugged him if I hadn't shat my pants.
What kind of movies get shot over here? I mean, have we seen you in any big movies?
Recently, with David Menken, also of Reduced
That's
Shakespeare
right.
Company UK fame,
yeah.
We just appeared in Zero Dark Thirty,
wow.
Which was great. I mean, this came through. It was really funny. We didn't get to meet Catherine, although she was going to see the tape, obviously. They gave us scenes from All the President's Men to learn.
Oh, interesting.
So we learned scenes from All the President's Men,
uh-huh.
and then... but we did that, and we filmed that. Not glamorous. I filmed it in some disused office block in
right.
off the M3.
Right.
But it was 3 days shooting, and my scenes with Mark Strong, and it was so it was great. But Catherine Bigelow, getting to work with these big directors,
yeah,
Catherine
right.
Bigelow, and I just went to Brussels last week and worked with Bill Condon and played another White House again. I seem to be in the White House a lot.
Well, and one of the reasons, I mean, this is both good for you and bad for us in the States,
right.
because they're coming over here and shooting. Because they don't have to pay you guys SAG, Screen Actors Guild, wages, right? You're not members of Screen Actors Guild.
No, they don't have to pay us SAG. And they do, I mean, they often ask, which is cheeky, are you a SAG member? We don't want SAG members. And I think sometimes, you know,
right.
you can say, yes, I am a SAG member, and they will either say they not hire you or they will pay you a SAG rate.
Okay.
So it just depends, I suppose, on your numbers. It's a very gray
yes.
area, Austin.
Yeah,
I mean,
is.
I don't know. It comes down to, you know, and to producers' prerogative of whether or not they want to do that. But
yeah.
Well, but particularly with so much of it is about the financing. But you know, the signature, whoever the producers are, Zero Dark Thirty, Warner Brothers, or wherever
yeah.
they were. They're signatories to the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be hiring,
yeah.
but I know that if some of their funding is coming from Britain or Europe or whatever,
yeah.
they've got to hire so many from this country
yeah.
and so many from this country.
Yeah.
So I know that you are part of a quota, not you, but you know
yeah.
these actors are part of a quota for something else. So they've got to balance all these things,
yeah.
and the union just can't say, well, you know, screw this, you've got to hire
yeah.
me. And also, that's that gray area you're talking about for an actor.
Yeah,
you know, I want to be hired, but I also don't want to be, you know,
yeah.
dicked around.
Yeah. I mean, and it's things like, you know, I narrated Wife Swap USA. I'm the voice of Wife Swap. I do apologize to you people. And each week from across America, here comes some really stupid people. But no, but when they shot the first series, all from here, so his entire crew, and then Disney, it's his ABC show, said, you're going to have to shoot now. We've done the pilot year, as it were.
Yeah.
Your production now has to be in the States. However, the production company said, John, you stay here.
Okay.
You know?
Oh,
and
see.
So they didn't have to pay me. I was desperate to go because
yeah.
it would have bought my house.
Right.
It would have
yeah.
bought a plane. That ran for 6 years and it's now syndicated, and I don't get anything from that.
So this is the drawback
yes.
of living here.
Yeah, this is one of the drawbacks.
Yeah.
Are there others?
Well, you know, the weather sucks. You know, the weather sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
The other drawbacks are we're not getting seen for the bigger roles. Like I said, I've just played a White House staffer. I've just done a detective in Kick-Ass 2, and
right.
oftentimes we play things that don't get a name.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm often NYPD detective or,
yeah.
you know, the New York Water Board,
yeah.
whatever, this or that.
Right.
So you go in, you're not named. So you're not being seen for the kind of roles that you'd like to be seen, that your compatriots in America will get flown out and play
yeah.
here. So that's a downside. The upside is we get to work a lot. I mean, we
yeah.
get seen for a lot. And a lot, again, a lot more pilots are now being cast internationally.
Yes.
You know, Kate Dowd has offices in Hong Kong, South Africa, L.A., London, and New York. And when she's casting around the world, because she's quite happily will fly somebody from Hong Kong to shoot in London.
Well, one of the other things that I like about what you do, what I like generally, is just there are so many different weird ways to make a living
yeah.
in this business.
Yeah.
Aren't you sometimes like a body double or a voice double for famous people?
Yes, yeah.
Is that something you can talk about?
I can talk about it a little bit, yeah. I do voice double for some rather high A-list actors on a what's in the box?
Oh, I see.
You know, So yeah, what's in the box? So I've done a couple of things for them. I mean, I have signed NDAs, so I can talk about it a little bit. But there are a couple of actually.
But they make you sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, they make me sign a non-disclosure agreement about what I'm working on specifically. But
fortunately, this is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, and nobody listens to it.
Yeah, great. But the great thing is, last Friday I went, and you can if you IMDb it, then you can work it out yourself. But I'm not telling you anything. I worked with Kenneth Branagh in the morning, and then I went back into town and worked with Ridley Scott, and this in person. And so I got to work with Kenneth Branagh and Ridley Scott on the same day, and that's a pretty freaking cool day.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your White House roles via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Hollywood leading man Stan and in Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Alice Ramsey. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Nina Totenberg from National Public Radio, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 334 1,000 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Americans aren't coming over here playing Brits. They're playing Americans.
You're very welcome to Piers Morgan. You can keep him. We don't want him back.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.